This is Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston, and you're listening to Being Catholic right here on Catholic Spirit Radio, 89.5 FM and 92.5 FM in good old McLean County and Bloomington Normal, 88.3 in Pontiac, 97.1 in Lincoln, 89.1 in DeKalb Sycamore, 89.3 in Morris Joliet, covering much of central and northern Illinois and still growing. We're going to have a great show for you today. I'm here with my wife, Lynn, and also my granddaughter, Katie. And remember, if you would like to make a donation, you can go to our website, and that's CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Again, that's CatholicSpiritRadio.com. We're brought to you by you, and we couldn't operate without you. So anything that you might be able to give, large or small, is always appreciated. We've got a lot of things coming up here this weekend, don't we? Palm Sunday is coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, tomorrow, or if you go to the vigil, it's tonight.
And then Passover is what starts the 5th through the 6th. I guess it's even to even. And then Good Friday is the 7th. And then Easter on the 9th. So it's Holy Week coming up. A lot of things coming up. Anything that you want to say about that before we go further, Lynn?
Well, when Easter begins with the vigil on at sundown on Saturday is when the Easter celebration begins, and the people that are in RCIA will be brought into the church and receive their sacraments of initiation for the first time. So that's always, it's beautiful, but people kind of avoid that whole ceremony, the Easter vigils, because it is lengthy. You're talking about being in church for about 2 hours. And to us Americans, that's lengthy. Well, when they have a mass over in Africa, that might go on all afternoon. But we just don't have the time for it.
It is a beautiful mass. And
it is.
We've been to many, many. When we taught RCIA, we took a lot of classes through. And, of course, they darken the church, and it's all dark, and people come in from the outside, and all the candles are lit. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. So if you have a chance, be sure to get to that mass. And it's
at least once in your lifetime.
Yeah, a great experience.
It is.
But at any rate, we're going to cover the sacraments again today. We're going to cover particularly matrimony, and I just want to go over again what the sacraments are, how they work, and what the specific sacraments are. And remember, a sacrament is a sign instituted by Christ to give grace, and a sacrament operates ex opere operato. That means by the power of the sign itself. You just have to be open to it. And the sacrament confers the grace automatically by itself. There are seven sacraments: baptism, confirmation, communion, penance, matrimony, holy orders, and the blessing of the sick. Used to at one time be called extreme unction. So the sacraments also take three particular things, and that is you have to have the right stuff. For example, baptism, you have to have water, and sacrament has to have the right form. You have to do things by the proper form. Baptism, for example, you do it, you know, in the name of the Father and the Son and in the Holy Spirit, and you have to do it along those three signs. If you don't, then it's not a valid baptism. So they have to have the right form. And then sacraments also have to have the right intent. They have to intend what the church intends by the sacrament. And we've explained that as we went along with these sacraments. So we're going to come back to the sacrament of matrimony and cover that today. First, though, because I think it's appropriate of all of the stress that's going on in our society, there's an article I came across in the First Things magazine, the March 2023 issue, and it's a short article, and I'd like to read it. It's it's entitled, the article is from a section entitled Leibovitz at Large, and it's written by Lyle Leibovitz. I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly. And he's a regular writer for that magazine, has a column in that magazine all the time. And he is a Jewish man. And the article is entitled, "We're All Jews Now." And I think it's a very interesting article to read, and it's very apropos, especially for Catholics. Yeah, so I'll go ahead and just read it. He says, "A few weeks ago, I was having dinner with some friends in Texas. The group, to use an oft-abused term correctly, was diverse. Jews and Catholics and evangelicals, young and old, university professors and professional musicians, with little in common save for our shared belief that faith, family, and nation ought to be the building blocks of a happy, fruitful life. Maybe it was the spirited conversation, or maybe just the spirit served liberally throughout the evening, but at some point I turned to my friends, raised my glass, and made a toast. 'Mazel tov,' I said. 'You're all Jews now.' The line got a big laugh, but I was being serious. Growing up in what until 5 or 6 years ago felt like a very different America, my friends had no way of knowing what life as an embattled minority might feel like. Their beliefs, give or take a few articles of faith, were so ubiquitous in the public discourse that they hardly needed stating. Of course we all love America and believe in its divine election. Of course we all cheer and yearn for warm, tightly knit families offering love and support. Of course we worship a mighty God, divergent as our religious practices and affiliations may be. Sure, here and there, there's a fiery, divisive issue that might have popped up into view, reminding my friends that some of their neighbors held wildly different convictions. But what they could expect at such contentious moments was a debate, not a crusade, because America was America, and because they, normal Americans, were the majority. No more. Our institutions, from our classrooms to our newsrooms, have all become altars for a new religion. It's one in which people are canceled without the possibility of repentance or redemption. One in which the color of one's skin, not the content of one's character, matters. One in which the only path to salvation is to lament America's essential evils, reject the shackles of the oppressive family structure, and believe in nothing but power and its ability to punish and reward. And so, all of us must do as the Jews have always done when rapacious oppressors bared their claws. Simply walk away. We don't have to send our children to universities that teach them to hate their heritage. We don't have to subscribe to newspapers that root for our downfall. We don't have to engage with a culture dedicated to nothing we hold dear and much we find repugnant. Okay, I realize this isn't easy. A lifetime of attachments isn't something you simply brush off your shoulder. Which is why so many Americans, including so many American Jews, continue to cling to the fantastical notion that sometime soon, somehow, things will go back to the way they were. If we win the next election, they think, or appoint the next judge, or write one more angry letter to our alma mater, common sense will be restored and the old ideas will once again prevail. Well, that ain't going to happen. What we're seeing is holy war waged by fanatics who won't stop until their benighted beliefs, gender is a fluid construct rather than a biological reality, America's founding principle was not freedom but slavery, having children is a malicious imposition on the environment, these things are the only ones permitted to be proclaimed. Their goal is submission. Power. The issue that they talk about is never the issue. The issue is always power and how they can grab it from us and keep it for themselves. Sadly, the Jewish people have been and continue to be on the receiving end of our fair share of extermination campaigns. we've had the opportunity to figure out what to do when the nice folks with torches and the pitchforks come a-knocking. Three principles stand out. First, stop talking to people who hate you. Let's say someone calls you a racist. Don't bother with indignation or denial. Just say, fine, sure, I'm a racist. A fascist too? Sure thing. A hater of women and minorities and non-dairy milk alternatives? You bet. Do that and you'll notice something amazing occurring. The terrible power of our pursuers that they hold over us, the power of intimidation and of setting the terms of the debate, dissolve the moment you realize you're free to disengage. But disengage and go where? This leads to our second principle. Get busy building. For every school district drowned in critical race theory and choked by other lunatic propaganda, let's have 1,000 sane and caring parents opt out, band together, and establish their own private schools, learning pods, homeschooling collaboratives, or other innovative forms of educating. We owe our kids a real education, not brainwashing. For every church and synagogue that spends more time talking about social justice issues than about the Lord and about Scripture, let there be a dozen independent study and prayer groups keeping it real. Do that, and before long you'll be surprised to learn that what was once the outside has become the core of a new, generative, and wonderful inside. For new initiatives to be launched and a new spirit of independence to be born, we need principle number 3, stay focused. Culture wars may be exhilarating at first, but they soon turn exhausting. If you invest too much of your energy and the life force sparring with your enemies over the insane ideas they're so eager to impose, you'll soon realize you have little left to invest in what really matters. And what's essential now is what has always been, God and love, parents and children, friends and charity and kindness, service and sacrifice, all the good stuff our religious traditions have cherished and promoted for millennia. Want to make sure we win the battle for America? Here's my plan. Just do one more thing this week that truly reflects the wisdom of your faith tradition than you did last week. Do that, and you'll discover that religious observance is not only rewarding, but also the world's greatest source of renewal and spiritual energy. So welcome, my Christian friends, to the family. We're all on the outside now, but we're outside together, a communion of believers, passionate and committed to the life of truth and beauty. Let's celebrate that.
What a more appropriate time to celebrate than when Christ has risen and Pentecost is coming and the founding of the church. It's an appropriate time to think about all of that. I think that's a very fine article.
That's what I wanted. I wanted to get it in before Easter. I thought it'd be a good idea because I think that there's a huge split in our country, and I know it's hard for people to grasp that fact that it's something permanent, but this man evidently thinks it is, and people out there may think that this is extreme. But I don't think it is, and I don't think things are going to go back to the way they were, at least not for a long, long time. And I think we, as traditional Catholics anyway, and that's what we are here at EWTN and Spirit Catholic Spirit Radio, are becoming more and more outsiders, along with Jews and other people who are truly, basically, fundamentally religious. We're more on the outside looking in. We're living not only in a post-Christian America, we're living in more and more of an anti-Christian America. And I think what this man has to say makes a lot of sense. You can spend all of your time railing against that, trying to change things. You might be better to turn inward and build your own institutions and build a community of believers together and be better off, as he points out, in doing, and probably it would be a lot more fun.
Right. In the beginning, when you asked me about if I had anything to say, I was trying to think of the Triduum, T-R-I-D-U-U-M. It's the 3 days of Christ's sacrifice and death, and the 3 days he was in the tomb. This is what the church calls Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, the Triduum. And I just at the time, we had changed topics pretty quickly, and it was totally lost on me. I couldn't bring it up. when you get older, it takes a little longer.
And what about you, Katie? Do you have anything to say on that article?
I thought it was a great article. Very well written. And as he said, it's very relevant today. We are becoming more and more very much on the outside looking in as traditional Catholics, like you said. And I liked how he said, it's better to turn inward and find
peace.
Yeah, find peace with yourself, because if you try and push it on this culture, I just feel like, as a young person myself, I find more and more young people who are actually on our side of common sense.
Glad to hear that.
Glad to hear it too.
I think a lot of it is the media shoving it down a lot of people's throats, and a lot of young people are like, we know this isn't right. We didn't grow up like this. I don't want my kids to grow up like this either.
I think you're right. I think maybe a lot of younger people are getting tired of it.
Yes.
And want to change.
Yeah.
So I think the best way to do that, like he said, is this, instead of fighting a culture war and just driving everybody further apart, just turn inward and build your own institutions and go about your own business.
Remember, Christ is love, and love everybody, even if you don't agree with them. Kill them with kindness, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
At any rate, I hope that, it's food for thought, at any rate, and it might be a different way of doing things, and maybe a better way of doing things. But we'll go ahead and take up the rest of the sacraments, and we'll come back in the next section here and talk about matrimony, which is an important institution and sacrament. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Hi, this is Debbie Giorgiani from EWTN's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'll be hosting Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon on April 12th, 13th, and 14th. Yes, you'll hear me live on air, specifically speaking to you, the Catholic Spirit Radio listeners in Central and Northern Illinois. This will be the first time that Catholic Spirit Radio is having a live broadcast, so it's going to be a blast. Besides me, you'll also get to hear from a lot of people dropping by the station to make their donations. Plus, since our theme for the Carathon is Jesus, We Trust in You, we'll be talking and learning lots about divine mercy. It's sure to be an exciting 3 days. Catholic Spirit Radio is an outstanding and important voice in your community, and we must keep it on the air. Please join me in this effort, because we need Catholic Radio now more than ever. Funds are needed to maintain and update equipment and pay the monthly expenses. We need your support, especially during these days. So save the date, Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon, April 12th through the 14th.
Join Holy Trinity and Historic St. Pat's Parishes in Bloomington in welcoming internationally renowned authors, speakers, and theologians, Drs. Scott Hahn and John Bergsma, as they make a rare speaking appearance to Central Illinois. This special event is being hosted by Holy Trinity Church in Bloomington Saturday, April 29th, 8:45 to 3:30. Seating is limited, so please register now. Don't miss out on this inspiring and blessed event. Learn more at the Holy Trinity website at hsp-ht.org.
Has an abortion experience left you feeling empty and alone? Rachel's Vineyard Retreat offers healing for those who struggle with the emotional and spiritual pain. This retreat is for mothers and fathers, whether single or married, and for grandparents, siblings, or anyone suffering the effects of an abortion loss. Confidentially register now for the March 24th through 26th retreat by calling 309-264-1489 or by emailing rvrpeoria@gmail.com.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston. You're listening to Being Catholic right here on Catholic Spirit Radio. We're back from our break. We're talking about the sacraments, and we're going to talk about matrimony in particular and its importance, and the institution of marriage and the family that results from it is the single most indispensable foundation for happiness in all societies, and in most individual lives. It is a fundamental building block for all other human relationships. In today's culture of death, only a countercultural marriage can succeed. For the message we hear from most modern culture and modern psychology is profoundly destructive of marriage. It is the gospel that the happiness of me, the individual, comes first before the good of my spouse, my marriage, my family, or my children. It is the gospel of respectable selfishness. And the second thing about marriage is, from a Catholic point of view, is marriage in God. Most marriages will not succeed today without God. There will be tension about who's the boss unless God is the boss. The instruments in an orchestra play in harmony only if they obey the same conductor's baton. And there are, in modern times, two radically different views of marriage. There are two fundamentally opposed views of marriage. The religious view, which is not limited to Christianity alone, and the non-religious view. There are at least four fundamental differences between them. The Church bases all her laws and teachings about marriage on the fundamental fact that the marriage state has been established by the Creator and endowed by Him with its own proper laws. The non-religious view, which has become popular in the modern secular West, is that marriage is man-made, not God-made, and therefore it is whatever we want it to be. We can change it. It conforms to us, not we to it. A second fundamental difference between the secular and the religious view is that the religious view interprets sex and marriage in terms of man, while the secular view, in our society at least, interprets man and marriage in terms of sex. Religion interprets sex in terms of marriage, marriage in terms of man, and man in terms of God. A third difference between the secular and religious view concerns hope. The secular view leads to despair because, according to this view, the greatest joy comes at the beginning and gradually degenerates and dies with the body. In the religious view, the greatest joy comes at the end, in heaven, and as love increasingly matures on earth. The flesh grows older, but the spirit grows younger. Mere sex always seems to get shallower with age, while the mystery of love gets deeper with age. And then finally, most fundamentally, married love is perfected only when grounded in God, because otherwise there are only two persons, while with God there are three, an image of the Trinity. The history of marriage. Marriage has a history in the plan of God. It begins in the eternal essence of God Himself, for God's institution of marriage manifests its Creator. Sacred Scripture begins with the creation of man and woman in the image and likeness of God. Like everything else in life, marriage is now fallen from innocence and infected with sin. Moral conscience concerning marriage developed under the pedagogy of the old law. Christ revealed the deepest meaning of marriage by marrying and saving the human race by His incarnation and sacrificial death. In the new law, marriage was raised by Christ the Lord to the dignity of a sacrament. And we have to understand the sacrament of marriage. Who performs the sacrament of marriage, Lynn?
The couple, the man and the woman. And the church, the priest is there, the deacon, to witness that they have done this.
Exactly.
And it should be done in front of other people so that, you know, you can't go off and say, no, I wasn't married.
Exactly. The sacrament of marriage is conferred by the two people who are being married themselves, by the man and the woman. And the man confers it upon the woman, and the woman confers it upon the man. And it's a covenant. It's not a contract. A contract can be broken, but a covenant can't. And if it's valid, if it's a valid covenant and performed validly, then it is for life.
And it has to be willing on both parts. It can't have any influence on anybody influencing either partner. They have to totally willingly on their own make the decision to do this.
Exactly. And the difference between a covenant and a contract is in a covenant, you pledge yourself. In other words, the man gives himself to the woman. He says, I give myself all to you. And the woman says, I give all myself all to you. So you give yourself to each other, and it's a covenant. It can't be taken back.
Yeah.
So
only death.
Right. That's what we, in the old days, that the day, until death do we part. And it's taken for better or worse. It's not taken because there
is richer for poor,
richer sickness for poor, and sickness and health. And there is going to be better or worse, and there is going to be richer or poor, and there's going to be sickness and health.
And nobody should enter marriage with the picture of a perfect marriage, a perfect family. It doesn't exist.
If you enter marriage with that, you're going to be in for a big, big shock. That's for sure.
Oh yeah,
but you know, as I talk to older patients and you guys, and it seems like marriage can be a really beautiful ride in the end. You know, really hard.
Yeah. It can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact is they've done a survey, and just take the time here to talk about psychologists and so forth have done a survey. And they have taken people who are on the verge of exploding and blowing up their whole marriage and so forth. And if you can talk them into staying together, and they write it out after 5 years or less, and you talk to those same people again, that all blows over. And they're glad that they stayed together, and they're glad that they didn't separate. And things usually work out and go smoother from that. They can ride it through. So, I mean, everybody has those things. And the fact is that the statistics show that you're a lot smarter to get through it. That,
Yeah, we've gone through some hard times. I mean, we almost could have had the shortest marriage in history. We got married at 9 o'clock in the morning. Bob had broken his leg. His leg was in a cast. He had fallen off a bridge. He was painting bridges at the time. And he had a car that was a stick shift. Well, we didn't think we could go anywhere. He couldn't drive.
I thought I couldn't.
Right. So
until you drove.
So I drove. We didn't know what to do because we had a period of time.
You know,
it was just a family wedding, and we had a breakfast, and then in the afternoon, well, we need food. You know, what's important to us. So we went to the neighboring town to where the big shopping place was.
And she drove.
Food, and I drove.
And it was like a bucking Bronco. My God, she was wrecking my car. It was jerking and everything else. I finally said, stop. And I got out of the car, just limping around like, and drove with my cast on.
Every stoplight, every stop sign. Oh, bro. Oh, that was. Anyhow, then we get to the store, and how you start your marriage is kind of how things end up. We got into a terrible fight at the store over a bar of soap.
She wanted all of that smelly soap, that feminine stuff, and everything else that stunk. And I wanted this plain ivory soap.
I said, well, you can have yours, and I'll have mine. He said, no, we're married now. We're married. We're a family. We're going to have, you know,
same soap.
Well, that went over like a lead balloon.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
I mean, it's the first time he got rammed with a shopping cart. And, you know, to this day, 60-some years later, we still not, we don't go to shop together. If we do, he's going to take his cart and I got to take mine. It just doesn't work.
No, that's one thing we found out never works. Don't. And, some people can shop together, but not the two of us. No way.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
So we don't.
So, you know, within 6 hours of getting married, it was like, what a disaster. I want to go home.
Okay.
But both our parents told us, his parents and my parents, that once you do this, you know, that you walk out that door and get married, You can come back to visit, but you can't come back to stay.
That's right.
That's how it was back then.
Yeah.
And then another aspect, your complementarity. According to Scripture, the image of God is male and female. And Holy Scripture affirms that man and woman were created for one another. And we have today something that this book doesn't really deal with because it didn't exist at that time. And that is the idea of same-sex marriage. And the church does not recognize that. And the fact is that for one thing, for a sacrament to be a sacrament, you have to have the right stuff. And the same-sex marriage is not the right stuff. And you have to have the right intent, the intent of the church, and that is to marry, be open to children, and raise a family. And the purpose of marriage is, you know, for a family to further the family unit and to further the society. And it's an important one of the building block of society is the family. And without it, society degenerates into really a tyranny. And we see a lot of tyrannical society. We see a tyrannical society coming to existence right here in the United States now in politics. And a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that marriage has become something other than it's supposed to be. And so it's as simple as that. Whatever the same sex you want to call relationships, they're not marriage. It's as simple as that. And that, if you look at all of history, marriage has always been the institution for the purpose of raising a family. Sure, there are things that sometimes happen. I mean, people can be infertile, and that's not their fault. And so they can adopt children and so forth. But the whole idea is children, when they can, when it's possible, should be raised within the union of a male and a female. It's better for the children. It's better for society. It's better for everybody. And it's that everybody in a society does not have to live in exactly the same manner. And somebody is not being denied if their relationship, whatever it is, it doesn't fit the actual bonds and the definition and purpose of marriage. We have all kinds of vocations and all kinds of different ways of living, and we shouldn't be calling something that's not marriage, marriage.
Right. And we need to keep in mind the argument that at the time of Christ that these things weren't thought of or going on would be an error, because they were. Rome and its society and other pagan societies, homosexual relationships abounded, especially an older male with a younger male, and women too. But it was happening then too. Jesus said that marriage was between a man and a woman. It was that way from the beginning. In the Garden of Eden.
And you go back to the earliest church and when Christians were being persecuted by the Romans and so forth, the fact is that they taught and insisted that marriage was between one man and one woman for the purpose of raising a family, and it was permanent. And so if you disagree with the church on marriage, the church didn't invent marriage. The Catholic Church didn't invent marriage. The Catholic Church didn't invent its dogmas. The Catholic Church didn't invent anything. The Catholic Church keeps those things that were given to it by Christ. Christ commanded it, go out into the world and teach everything that I have commanded you. In other words, everything that the church has, all the important dogmas and doctrines, were given to it by Jesus Christ. So one shouldn't say, I disagree with the church about marriage or about divorce or about the definition of marriage is, but I disagree with Christ about marriage or divorce and those things. That's who you're disagreeing with. And on any of the sacraments, if you disagree with them, that's who you're disagreeing with. The church is the conveyor of what it was given. It hands down the tradition that it was given from one generation to the next, and it's been doing that for 2,000 years, and it has acquired a lot of wisdom in those 2,000 years. And so it has a lot of wisdom about marriage, and if people follow it, in the long run, a society will be a lot stronger, healthier, and happier. Anything more you want to say on that?
No, it's permanent. And until you die, and that's just the way it is. And that's the way you have to look at it. Otherwise, you won't stay together. And you remember that bar of soap? Well, things change. Bob no longer uses ivory soap, but I do.
That's funny.
See? If you wait, how things will turn out. Even though you would never believe it, you would sit and say, never in a million years. And then one day you wake up and it's changed. That's how you get old, too. You're young and you're doing everything and everything's going along just fine and everything. And then one day you climb out of bed, you look in the mirror and you say, good God, I'm old.
No, who is that?
Yeah, right. That's how it happens. Okay. The sacrament of matrimony, like all sacraments, gives to its recipients the spouse's actual grace, that is the real presence of Christ. In fact, the very life of Christ in our souls. Christ dwells with them, gives them the strength to take up their crosses. And believe me, when you get married, you're going to take up crosses, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And so follow him. To rise again after they have fallen, to forgive one another, to bear one another's burdens. The truest test of love is giving, that is sacrifice. Almost all marriages that fail because they fail this test. Because the spouses refuse to make sacrifices. The old marriage rite taught couples this wisdom. Sacrifice is usually difficult and irksome. Only love can make it easy. Only perfect love can make it a joy. Justice, rights, and freedom are three words that lovers never use.
Right. It's a dream somewhere else.
Right. I will love you always with no qualifications whatsoever, not even if you reciprocate, for that would only be justice. The wise words of the old rite taught us to vow to love for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and health, till death do us part. We're going to have to stop here and take a break, so stay with us. We'll be right back, and we'll finish up on matrimony. So stay with us.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Wondering about your next step? Ashley was in school and pregnant when she reached out to the Pregnancy Resource Center. Would she be judged? Would she be accepted? What she found at LAPRC was a team of people who were committed to providing excellent care and compassionate support to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. If you or someone you know is in a situation like Ashley, or if you want to help support women and families in our community, you can find us at pregnancyresourcecenter.org.
Join Holy Trinity and historic St. Pat's parishes in Bloomington in welcoming internationally renowned authors, speakers, and theologians, Drs. Scott Hahn and John Bergsma, as they make a rare speaking appearance to Central Illinois. This special event is being hosted by Holy Trinity Church in Bloomington Saturday, April 29th, 8:45 to 3:30. Seating is limited, so please register now. Don't miss out on this inspiring and blessed event. Learn more at the Holy Trinity website at hsp-ht.org.
Hi, this is Debbie Giorgiani from EWTN's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'll be hosting Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon on April 12th, 13th, and 14th. Yes, you'll hear me live on air, specifically speaking to you, the Catholic Spirit Radio listeners in Central and Northern Illinois. This will be the first time that Catholic Spirit Radio is having a live broadcast, so it's going to be a blast. Besides me, you'll also get to hear from a lot of people dropping by the station to make their donations. Plus, since our theme for the Carathon is Jesus, We Trust in You, we'll be talking and learning lots about divine mercy. It's sure to be an exciting 3 days. Catholic Spirit Radio is an outstanding and important voice in your community, and we must keep it on the air. Please join me in this effort because we need Catholic Radio now more than ever. Funds are needed to maintain and update equipment and pay the monthly expenses. We need your support, especially during these days. So save the date, Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon, April 12th through the 14th.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston. You're listening to Being Catholic. We're back from our break. We're talking about the sacraments in general and marriage in particular, matrimony in particular. And we'll go ahead and take up the rest of matrimony and finish it up in this section. And then next week, of course, is Easter. I think we'll be off on that day. And probably you'll be listening, if there's a program, to one of our older programs.
Well, probably EWTN has special programming for the Easter season. So what you hear will be different from any time else during the year. And to bring, while we're talking about that, the week after Easter will be our spring telethon to bring in some much-needed income for the to keep our station going. And we'll have a special person that will be joining us from EWTN, Georgiani, whose program you hear every day on Spirit Radio at 11 o'clock in the morning. It Takes Two, that program. If any of you are home during the day and listen to it, it's a really good program. She's really a good down-to-earth person. So for 3 days, it'll be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
So remember that. Be sure that's the week after Easter. And we'll be here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And it'll be an interesting program with Georgiana. So stay tuned for that.
And the topic will be mainly Divine Mercy, because Divine Mercy is on the Sunday after Easter. And that was established by Saint Pope John Paul II, established that feast day of Divine Mercy.
So it'll be an interesting time. Be sure to tune in and get what you can from that program. And at the same time, do what you can for Catholic Spirit Radio, because we depend totally on you. You make it possible for our program to be on the air. Let's continue with marriage, or matrimony. The indissolubility of marriage. Indissoluble means permanence or foreverness. The human marriage covenant can no more be dissolved than God's covenant, for God designed it to be the image of that covenant. So marriage, again, in the Catholic Church is permanent once it's valid. Divorce is a kind of suicide, an attempt to kill the one flesh created by marriage. And churches that permit divorce claim far more authority than the Catholic Church claims for herself, the authority to contradict her Lord. In the 16th century, the Catholic Church lost England, or rather, England lost her, because of her fidelity to Christ, her King, when England's King Henry VIII demanded the Church's infidelity to Christ to justify his own infidelity to his barren wife. Once you're married, and now even if the, you know, one person is sterile or something like that happens, that's a cross that you have to bear. And King Henry didn't want to bear that cross, and he left the Catholic Church because of that and lost the church.
Well, they did have some pregnancies there in that marriage, but they resulted in those days there was a high infant birth fatality. Then they had one child that survived, and that was Elizabeth. And that was Elizabeth the First. That was Henry's first child. But the point was, at the time, King wanted a male heir. So he got rid of her, put her in a convent, tried to get the Pope to change his mind, and that didn't happen. So that's where that split came.
Exactly. And it says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. The Church maintains that a new union cannot be recognized as valid if the first marriage was valid. If the divorced are remarried civilly, they find themselves in a situation that objectively contravenes God's law. Consequently, they cannot receive Eucharist communion as long as this situation persists. Reconciliation through the sacrament of penance can be granted only to those who have repented for having violated the sign of the covenant and a fidelity to Christ, and who are committed to living in complete continents. A third reason is that marriage is an image of the union between Christ and the bride, the church. That's us. And Christ is not an adulterer. He is faithful forever. So those are some of the reasons. Anything more you want to say on that, Lynn?
Much is said about annulments in the Catholic Church. You have to understand that by annulment, what they're saying is a valid marriage never took place in the first place, did not take place. And there are many reasons for that. Some of them are that people weren't able to give their full consent in the first place, that there was outside pressure for them to get married. They were married without the intent of ever having any children. I can't think the whole list, but there's quite a few.
Oh, there can be many, 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 many reasons for, you know, an invalid marriage. I mean, right. If you can tell, you know, if the person, one of the persons was not really serious, didn't take things into consideration and so forth. So if something is missing and, you know, something that is necessary for the sacrament of marriage to be valid is missing, then there can be an annulment. And like you say, it's a declaration that there was never any marriage in the first place. And it's not a Catholic divorce. People think, well, an annulment is Catholic divorce.
Just got to have enough money to get it.
Are there more annulments than ever? Than there used to be? Yes, there are. But we live in a society in which probably fewer and fewer people, including Catholics, understand what a marriage really is. And there is so much pressure and distractions and so forth in that society, so that there are a lot more annulments possible than there would be before. That's not to say that, you know, every annulment is perfect, but nevertheless, the fact is that it is not a Catholic divorce.
Right. And the marriage tribunal in each diocese are the ones that take the testimony, and they call in people from the outside that knew each one of these persons involved in this marriage, come in and testify, and a judgment is made that consists with a canon lawyer is always there, and then two other people that know canon law pretty well, and they decide whether they think the marriage was valid in the first place according to canon law, the law of the church. And if they declare it was valid, you have any options? Sure you do. You can take it to the Archdiocese, and you can take it to Rome. Lots of luck.
And marriage, people should remember, is a task, a vocation, a calling, fully as much as the priesthood. In fact, if you want to think about it, it's probably more important.
Very similar.
Almost more important than the priesthood. I mean, there are no priests, you know,
without marriage,
without children. Yeah. So marriage is the bedrock of a whole society, and it holds it all together, and it keeps it free also. It's a bedrock against the state, and the destruction of marriage by the state is a means of imposing the state on the will of the people.
Right. I remember our priest who has served on the marriage tribunal, I believe, for a few years. But he said, like, you have a case where a couple gets married and their whole focus is on the wedding and the party and all that. And then they go on their honeymoon and the wife finds a husband calling his girlfriend on the honeymoon. He says, was there a marriage there or not? That's what the tribunal decides.
Exactly. Most likely in that case, there wasn't. If he was calling his girlfriend on a honeymoon, then his girlfriend had to be in his mind while he was getting married. So,
Charles and Diana.
Right. So I would guess that would not be considered a valid marriage. At any rate, the wedding ceremony, let me go on here. It says marriage is a task, it's a vocation. It will not work if we do not work at it. marriage, you know, you have to work at it. It's a work.
It's a lot of work.
I feel like you have to choose it every day, you know. Yeah, you have to choose to be happy and choose the marriage, choose your partner.
Well, sometimes you're not going to be happy, though, Katie, you know, so you have to understand.
Yeah, there are days.
You can't always be happy. There are days you're not going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can hate each other some days.
Yeah. I guess.
Why did I do
choose
this?
Choose to work towards it. Yeah. You know?
But that's what to work towards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you want to know about that, just ask your mother.
Oh.
Any of you out there, ask your mother.
Marriage is like writing a song. It's not like listening to a song. Writing a song is a lot harder.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, the wedding ceremony, the celebration of marriage between two Catholic faithful, normally takes place during Holy Mass because of the connection of all the sacraments with the Paschal mystery of Christ. The Eucharist should be at the heart of a Catholic wedding celebration because it's the consummation of the new covenant or marriage between Christ and his bride, the Church. And according to the Latin tradition, the spouses mutually confer upon each other the sacrament of matrimony by expressing their consent before the Church.
I think there's a question, too, about being married in the Church. In the Catholic Church, you don't get married out in the cornfield or...
the cute Pinterest, you know, wedding for the internet.
Right, or having... a destination wedding. You're supposed to be married in your parish, your home parish, usually the bride's home parish. And for the reason that you're there, you're making that commitment, and that commitment isn't just to each other, it's between each other and God. That commitment, those vows are, that's why the priest is there. And the congregation or the people of the community, they're there to support you. So that's why it's in a church, not a destination.
And the parties who can marry? The parties to a marriage covenant are a baptized man and woman, free to contract marriage, who freely express their consent, so that the I do of the spouses may be a free and responsible act, and so that the marriage covenant may have solid and lasting human and Christian foundations, preparation for marriage is of prime importance. In other words, people should understand, and the church should help them understand exactly what it is that they're doing and that they're getting into, I guess would be a way of phrasing it.
You never know what you're getting into until you do it.
But the point is that you should know. What a marriage is.
They really do try to help prepare you.
Right. Well, at least so you know what it is.
Yeah.
The Church's regulation for this initiation or instruction may vary with time and place, but the Church always requires basic instruction before marriage, just as before adult baptism, confirmation, or admission to the Eucharist, as a kind of truth and labeling service, so that you know as much as possible what you are getting into. Because it's important. And then annulments here, we've already talked about that. Separations, just as annulments are not divorces, neither are separations. There are some situations in which living together becomes practically impossible for a variety of reasons, such as violence and abuse. In such cases, the Church permits the physical separation of the couple and their living apart. The spouses do not cease to be husband and wife before God, and so are not free to contract a new union. In this difficult situation, the best solution would be, if possible, reconciliation. And then mixed marriages. In the strict technical sense of the word, a mixed marriage is a marriage between a Catholic and a baptized non-Catholic, that is, between two Christians. A marriage with disparity of cult is one between a Catholic and a non-baptized person. Mixed marriages, or difference of confession between the spouse, does not constitute an insurmountable obstacle for marriage when they learn from each other the way in which each lives in fidelity to Christ. But the difficulties of mixed marriage must not be underestimated. They arise from the fact that the separation of Christians has not yet been overcome. The spouses risk experiencing the tragedy of Christian disunity even in the heart of their own home. Disparity of cult can further aggravate these difficulties. Differences about faith and the very notion of marriage can become sources of tension in marriage, especially as regards the education of children. The temptation to religious indifference can then arise. In case of disparity of cult, an express dispensation from this impediment is required for the validity of the marriage. This permission or dispensation presupposes that both parties know and do not exclude or reject the essential ends and properties of marriage, and furthermore, that the Catholic party confirms the obligation which have been known to the non-Catholic party, have been made known to the non-Catholic party, of preserving his or her own faith and ensuring the baptism and education of the children in the Catholic Church. And so that sometimes can cause a problem, and that problem should be resolved before people in that situation marry. All Catholic parents are obligated by their faith to baptize and educate their children in the church, even if only one parent is Catholic. So that pretty well covers the sacrament of marriage. We have the sacrament of holy orders and the sacrament of blessing of the sick. It used to be called extreme unction, coming up. And we'll do those after Easter. So in the meantime, everybody, have a happy Easter. And be sure to listen to us in the week after Easter. We'll be having our fundraising events, and it'll be a very interesting time as well. Anything further you want to say, Lynn?
No. Katie?
Don't forget about that telephone.
Hey, right. Yeah, we can't survive without your help.
That's for sure.
Yeah, we appreciate all you guys.
In the meantime, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander through the world for the ruin of souls. Amen.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio. If you'd like to contact Bob, email bob@catholicspiritradio.com. Again, that's bob@catholicspiritradio.com. Catholic Spirit Radio relies on your support to bring programming like this and EWTN 24 hours a day. Please help keep Catholic Spirit Radio on the air with your generous support. Donate online at catholicspiritradio.com or send a donation to Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. That's Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. Catholic Spirit Radio is a 501c3, and all donations are tax deductible. Thank you for your support of Catholic Spirit Radio